The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. This is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. God is on the move, as I always say. We just celebrated the Passover and Resurrection Sunday last week, according to the Jewish calendar, and I'll say that God really moved during these two events. It was great to see, as so many of us were just coming together to celebrate Jesus as our Passover lamb and celebrate everything that he did for us on the cross. And everybody brought offerings. They brought offerings of worship. They gave love offerings to the Lord to celebrate the Passover and celebrate his becoming our Passover. And something that Pastor Chris said to us is that this season that we're entering, it's about passing over from our trials, passing over from any past mistakes. It's about passing over from anything. The cycle of committing to the Lord, then choosing to do your own thing, then getting caught in the world, and then committing to the Lord again. That cycle, it's time to end that cycle. Amen. We can't keep going about doing our own thing over and over and over and expect God to move. So that's what we're talking about, and that's what we've been talking about at Freedom Fellowship Church. And before we get started, I just want to remind you guys, if you haven't listened to any of our previous broadcasts, go to our website. You can find it at www.sogmi.org. That's www.sogmi.org. And you can listen to previous broadcasts. You can listen to podcasts. So be sure to check it out. So we're talking about this season that we're in. We're talking about the fact that we need to stop falling into these old mindsets, the mindset of the world, the mindset of how we've always done things before. And we're just going to talk about this idea. If we look in the scriptures, we know in the Old Testament that God was always with the nation of Israel, right? And it was caught in kind of this cycle. Right? So the nation of Israel, we know many times they went through many kings, many rulers, many judges, and there were long periods of time where the nation of Israel, where they would follow the Lord fervently, where they would be righteously following the Lord, right? But then a new king would come in, and he would do wickedness in the eyes of the Lord, and the whole nation would fall into sin, and then the Lord would deliver Israel into the hands of their enemies. Then they cry out to God. He restores the kingdom to them. He restores the nation. He brings about righteous rulers. And then after Israel repents, then they become restored, right? And this is a very, very troublesome pattern, but it happens for a long period of time where Israel starts righteous, then they do wickedness, then God delivers them into the hands of their enemies, they get oppressed, then they repent before the Lord, they cry out to God, right? And then God delivers them from their enemies, and then the cycle begins anew. So the issue with this kind of thing is that the cycle, when it continues and continues, you can't progress forward into glory. And the thing is, when we get caught in a cycle like this, then we are actively limiting ourselves, and we are actively limiting what God can do in us, because we keep going back to the old ways of doing things. We keep going back and falling into unbelief, into doubt, into stubbornness, into pride even, because not obeying the Lord, doing our own thing over what God has asked us to do, that is pride, which is wicked, right? Say, for example, God says you're going to own a business, right? Say that he says you're going to own a business, and he says, I will reveal the plan to you, right? Well, if you go about creating your own plan without listening to God, then what are you telling God? You're saying, well, I don't believe that you're going to create a plan for me, so I'm going to do my own steps. And this applies to anything that God tells us. Whatever God says he's going to do, if we don't act in accordance to what the Lord said, if we don't act accordingly in response, if God says wait and we don't wait, if God says go here and we don't go there, if God says do that and we don't do it, we're saying we don't trust God and that we aren't willing to yield to his spirit. And that is pride. That is arrogance. Does that make sense? So we cannot fall into these same pitfalls again and again, right? Now, I want to point out something. We were talking about how in the Old Testament, God continually delivered the nation of Israel from its enemies. The nation was restored, right? So I want you guys to understand that when Jesus came, right, Israel was under, what do we know that Israel? Israel was under Roman rule, right? So the Pharisees and many Israelites were under the same mindset that whoever the Lord's anointed is going to come in, you know, like a king rushing in, and he's going to deliver the nation of Israel from its captives. In this case, the Romans. This is, and you'll see this based on the way the disciples talk to him in many cases, based on the way the Pharisees talk to him, because they had these preconceived ideas about what their Messiah was going to do, right? And it's very interesting because the Pharisees knew the scripture. The Pharisees knew about the prophecies about the Messiah. The Pharisees knew because they studied it. Since they were young men, since they were boys, they studied the Torah, they studied the words of the prophets, each of which are filled with prophecies and writings about the Messiah. So why did they not recognize Jesus when he came? Because they were so filled with their own expectations, they were so filled with the way that they thought the Messiah was supposed to look, that they didn't realize that Jesus, the man that they were accusing, the man that they were hating, fit all of the criteria to be the Messiah. Does that make sense? So when we get caught up with our own expectations, with our own ideas, with our own concept of how God is going to move, we become blinded to the way that the Holy Spirit and the Lord is actually moving. So our own expectations can blind us from the will of God. Are you getting this? So what we have to do is that if we're going to allow God to move in our life, we have to clear out expectations. We have to clear out those ideas, those concepts, those ideas that we've so ingrained in our mind. Say God moved when we sang this one song. Now, you know, suddenly it's really easy to become attached to that song. Oh, this song is so anointed because God moved that one time. And so now, say you start singing it every time you want the Lord to move. That's not actually being reliant on the Holy Spirit. That's you trying to set up a tradition, trying to set up a kind of formula for the Holy Spirit to move. And it's the same thing with anything else. If you pray a certain way, do a certain thing, well, God moves every time I do this. God speaks to me every time I do this. God isn't bound by traditions. God isn't bound by little formulas, little patterns. God moves in mysterious ways, and God will manifest himself differently many times. So we can't blind ourselves to the will of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit by focusing so much on our expectations, or by allowing our expectations to take precedence. And you'll see that even the disciples didn't understand what Jesus came here to do because they had their own expectations. If we look at Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is asking his disciples. In verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he said. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So here we see that Peter received divine revelation about Jesus, yes? And Jesus confirmed it to him. However, in the next verse, and this is verse 21, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day that he would be raised to life. However, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He said, 'Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.'" So we see here that while Peter, even though he got divine revelation that Jesus was the Son of God, he still had human expectations about what the Messiah was supposed to do. So in his mind, oh, the Messiah would never suffer or die at the hands of the elders. That would never happen because the Messiah is supposed to restore the kingdom to Israel. That's what he's thinking. Understand? And so because of this, when Jesus says he needs to die, Peter cannot accept it because it doesn't match his expectations. And so we see in this incident where he's led by the Spirit, right? The Lord reveals things to him, but because of his expectations, he still doesn't understand what God revealed to him. And so if we're going to understand what God is trying to do in our lives, we have to remove these expectations. I cannot stress this enough. We have to just allow God to set them for us. Allow God to set those expectations. Allow God to set our mindset and to set our way of doing things. We'll see that the rest of the disciples, they still kept this mindset and they weren't able to look past this expectation about Jesus. As I said, they believed that Jesus was going to restore the kingdom to Israel, like God did throughout the Old Testament whenever they were in captivity to another nation or to an oppressor, right? So they believed in this case then that the kingdom would be taken from the Romans and given back to the Israelites. And I'm going to show you a scripture that supports this. But the reason why they thought this is because that's what God did throughout the Old Testament. And so that's what they were concerned about. That's what they were focused on. The Messiah is going to deliver the nation of Israel. In Acts 1, it says, and this is after Jesus rose from the dead. This is after he died on the cross. This is after everything. This is after they put the hands and felt the holes in his hands. This is after all of the witnessing of miracles. This is after everything. This is just before Jesus ascends to heaven. And this is what they say to him in Acts 1, verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now see, they are concerned about the kingdom of Israel. They're concerned about being freed from their captives, right? However, Jesus never once preached or taught about the kingdom of Israel, right? Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. He said, "Behold, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So while the elders, while the disciples, while they're focused on the small spot of earth that is the nation of Israel, Jesus was looking at all nations. Jesus was looking at the whole world. You see how our expectations, they limit us? We're concerned about our little circle. We're concerned about this little section that we adore so much, that we care about so much, that we don't realize that God is looking at the whole picture. And if we would just listen to God, we would be pushed and taken further than we could ever realize. And so that's why we have to lose these expectations. The disciples were focused just on the nation of Israel. Lord, are you going to, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus came and throughout his ministry said, "Behold, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So they're concerned about the Israel people. Jesus is concerned about all people. They're concerned about worldly oppressors, about the Roman rule, right? Jesus was concerned about the oppression of sin and the fact that it had been ruling over the entire earth ever since Adam and Eve took that fruit from the tree. So Jesus was looking to save them from spiritual bondage while they're still looking at things in the natural. So after they asked this thing about Jesus, about restoring the kingdom to Israel, Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now this is the next point. After Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent them the Holy Spirit, right? And that's what he said to them, "You will receive power from the Holy Spirit." And the thing is that the disciples, they had been so caught in their bubble, right? In their own world and their own expectations that they had set. However, once they received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that's when they started to see things God's way, because no longer were they being led by their own mind, by their own will, by their own expectations. They were being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's when they began to get a greater revelation for what God did, for what God is doing, for what God did on the cross, what God did to free all of mankind from sin. You'll notice that the very first thing that happens after they receive the Holy Spirit is that they begin teaching and preaching with new revelation and with new power that they never had before. What happens? All the crowds hear all the disciples, all the people that were empowered by the Holy Spirit in their own tongue, in their own language. And so many of them ask what it means. And who comes forth? Peter stands up and addresses the crowd. He says to them, "These things that you're witnessing are what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs to the earth below, and blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You have filled me with joy in the presence.'" And he continues talking to them about what David said. And at the very end, he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." So see here, after being empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter, who was so stubborn, who insisted that God would not die, that he would deliver the kingdom to Israel, now he's preaching with renewed revelation about the words of the prophets, about the word of David. And that's why people asked, how did these men get such knowledge, even though they had never studied? And that's what God wants to do through us. He wants to fill us with new revelation. He wants to fill us with new ideas. He wants to fill us with new concepts. But we need to drop our expectations. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit so that we can get new revelation, so that we can get new ideas, so that we can get new concepts that have never been done before, that have never been revealed to people before. And so, I'm running out of time, but that, my friends, is why we're in the season of Passover. We're going to pass over from this cycle of falling back into the world's ways of doing things, then repenting to God, and falling back into the world's ways of doing things and repenting to God. We're going to pass over from that cycle. We're going to pass over from any preconceived ideas or expectations. We're going to pass over from any failings, any past mistakes, and we're going to move forward into glory. So let me pray with you before we go. So, dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing throughout this nation, throughout the world, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, God. I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to your people, reveal to these listeners, God, your will in their lives and help them move past their expectations so they can move forward, Lord, into the glory that you have prepared for them, God. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in their lives, Lord. And I thank you, God, I call forth healing. I call forth restoration, God. I call forth finances, God, because they are passing over, they are passing through and past any trials and tribulations, Lord. And I thank you, God, that as you pull them out of it, Lord, that they would be led by your Spirit, Lord, to not fall into the cycle, Lord, but to be led by your Spirit to go forth into glory. I thank you, God, for all of these things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so we're pretty much out of time for today. Before we go, I just want to remind you to check out our website. You'll be able to listen to this broadcast. We upload it usually every Monday evening to our website at www.sogmi.org. Again, that's www.sogmi.org. So you'll be able to listen to this broadcast on Monday. And you can also, even now, listen to any of our previous broadcasts. Also, be sure to give us a call. It's so great to hear from listeners, to hear how this radio program is affecting you. I know it's always a blessing to me, and it's always a blessing to Pastor Chris to hear how God moved in your life, how this ministry touched you. So give us a call at 210-695-1630. Again, that's 210-695-1630. Also, come and visit one of our services. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And we also meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're located off I-10 in San Antonio, off I-10 and Callahan. The address is 8419 Callahan Road. So it's just off the highway. You can look up the address to find a map on our website if you go to sogmi.org/church and check it out. So come visit us. We always welcome our radio listeners and new faces there. So body of Christ, let's be ready. Let's start moving in power. Let's get rid of the expectations. Let's get rid of the preconceived ideas. And let's seek out the Holy Spirit. Let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Be led by God, so that he can lead us into greater things than ever before. Because I'm telling you, body of Christ, if we get led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to start to get the new revelation like the disciples did when they got the Holy Spirit, when they got the tongues of fire that came upon them at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is going to give us new revelation, but we have to be open to receiving it. We have to be willing to listen, And body of Christ, if we do that, people are going to start talking. They're going to start saying, where do they get this knowledge? Where do they get these ideas? Why is everything that they touch successful? Why is everything that they do so powerful? And then that's when we're going to be able to answer back and say, it's because we have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, working through us. So God bless you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. We all hope you were blessed by this message today. If you were, let us hear from you. If you wish to contact us or sow a seed, our phone number is 210-396-7891. And for Saturday's program, call us at 210-695-1630. Send all emails to sonsofgod@satx.rr.com and all letters to P.O. Box 1579, Lotus, Texas 78023. For more info, including service times and upcoming events, find us at www.sogmi.org. That's www.sogmi.org.